I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Look how long his middle finger is on the front. Yeah.
But he does have stylish ripped jeans.
He does, yes.
Exposing like what looks like his bare like bone knees. Like,
yeah. And elbows, yeah. Boys here, the internet's number one fake history podcast returns, only to be canceled by Netflix in favor of 6 seasons and 2 spinoffs of Big Mouth. I am a damp Muppet named Peter O'Donohue, and controlling my mouth and right arm are...
Ethan, I'm the right-hand man.
And I'm James. I'm just watching. This is a great show.
You fucking freak, Jamie. Getting on the side watching. While I'm working Pete's right arm.
Am I? Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Muppet puppeteer stance? It looks like it would give you like heart problems by having your arms raised and all the blood draining out of them for so long.
Yeah. Actually, my shoulder is actually lower on my right side from all this watching I've been doing.
No. Oh. Not even moving his mouth. Pretty impressive.
So today we're going to be doing the Dark Crystal, thanks to the patrons Honest Dawn and Fragile Shark. They requested this quite some time ago. No non-patrons this time, so I think poor people just hate puppets. At least that's a conclusion I've come to. And then also hello to our newest patrons, Riccato and Max Schmidtman. So thank you guys very much for joining. Hope you're in the Discord. Hope we've said hello already. But
that's a good crowd, Honest Dawn and Fragile Shark. Those are some good, positive members of the community. I'm happy we're paying it back to them.
Pillars of the community.
Yep.
Good memes, good people, server boosters, all of it. It's all good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, Dark Crystal. I know, Ethan, you mentioned it to me off air. What's your guys' familiarity with The Dark Crystal? Movie, show? The
movie
have
once?
You read the compendium for some reason?
I've seen the movie once as an adult in like the last maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. Don't remember a ton, but I do remember really liking it. I don't remember a ton of like the lore, I guess, or like the story per se, but I'm excited to relearn some of it, I guess.
I haven't watched it. A lot of the way that I've absorbed it is there's like a stint on the podcast Harmontown where they're talking about it a lot, and Erin McGathy was talking about her sexual awakening as a child, as like a young girl, and seeing David Bowie in The Dark Crystal. Apparently,
that's Labyrinth.
That's a different
Dan I was like, Hansen production.
You just made me stop. I was like, was David fucking Bowie in the movie? And I don't remember.
No. So that's how much I know about what we're getting.
No, he's nothing. Oh, you know, it's the Muppets.
Yeah.
You know, it's the Muppets, you know, it makes people horny for some reason. But there are no human characters in the Dark Crystal film nor in the television show.
So hopefully no sexual awakenings too.
Hey, somebody out there is into, you know, lies of
peace. Easily won. So
you're not hurting anybody.
No.
You're diddling puppets.
You want to bang a Gelfling for some reason? Go for it, dude.
Go for it.
They're adults. They live the same time as a human being.
Yeah. The victim of crime.
You think ventriloquist puppets? You think there's a ventriloquist who's into puppets and he like talks back and forth to himself like 30 times?
For at least one.
The guy who's sexually awakened by the Dark Crystal is that ventriloquist.
Talking out of the corner of his mouth.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so horny for you.
Oh, yeah, me too. I am also horny.
lying in bed by himself, like sitting on his hand to get it to go numb.
Yeah.
A ventriloquist stranger.
You can't be the stranger because you need the articulation on the puppet.
Yeah.
You can't do that with a numb hand. So.
True.
The ventriloquist curse.
That's why they go crazy, right?
It's a fucking mailman. Twilight Zone episode. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the plot for Lies of P, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah, yeah, it's hinted at in the demo that Geppetto's left hand is numb. You should download that. So first, we're going to touch on some real world stuff, and then the rest of the episode will just be all fake history, baby. So the Netflix show, if it's even able to be watched, because I know like some streaming services take shit down. I barely check Netflix for anything anymore, except like maybe a stand-up special once a year.
I want to watch John Mulaney's. It looks good.
Anyways, it's supposed to be great. I watched an interview with him, and he was talking about it, going to rehab.
Wife cheater John Mulaney.
Yeah, he just got out of rehab. He had like a lot of issues. Yeah, but he talks about it.
My wife, I need to go to rehab.
He lays it all on the line. He talks about how he just. To hide from his money guy that he was taking out money for drugs, he bought a Rolex from a Rolex store and went and pawned it. He used a credit card to buy a Rolex and pawn it just to get money. Like basically stealing from himself and having the money and just to buy drugs. But.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's an addict brain.
That's
right?
An addict.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, if the Netflix show is still up, some of the puppeteers maybe were lying to their finance guys and like secretly buying puppet materials and then pawning off the Muppets for cocaine. I have no idea. I can't say that didn't happen. Now I know Ethan, you've seen the movie. I like the way it looks. I always found it, I've seen it twice now. I find it really hard to understand. A lot of the puppeteers are doing like a very like rah, 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 like monster voice. And a lot of the characters speak in broken English. So it's like, really, it's a bizarre creative choice to have a like 100% fantasy film with no human characters, so there is no audience POV, and everybody speaks kind of like in a broken English kind of goblin voice. The thing that maybe I was thinking of, because of course I Think You Should Leave season 3 is out, you know the bit where the girl's been sewn into Charlie Brown's pants and she's like on the dragon's den or whatever?
I haven't watched it. So.
No, it's the older one.
From the older one.
Yeah. So I looked it up again. She has like a clip where she's like, "Don't bring me a bad deal, or else I'll." Rah, rah.
Yeah.
that's what every single character in the fucking movie sounds like.
I don't remember finding it particularly hard to understand the dialogue or follow. I don't know if you watched it like on low volume or something, but.
I mean, again, I haven't seen it in a long time since the show came out in 2019. So it's been like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. And I haven't seen the show at all. So I don't know if the show is like similar, like they made the problem worse than the movie. Maybe.
Maybe
it's a problem for me, at least. It is a completely understandable show. The dialogue is well written. Okay. All the characters speak proper English, not like, you know, monster English.
Were you watching the monster version or the English dub?
Oh, that's true.
Subs are dubbed.
Yeah. You should watch Dark Crystal subbed, I guess. That would probably be better. The English voice actor they hired for the bird people is just bad.
All those puppet fetishists, also subs.
Yeah.
It's like a weird Venn diagram.
Yeah. All 6-inch sandwiches subs.
True. Things with periscopes, subs.
Open face sandwich with steak and Italian dressing on it. That's a great sub. That's my favorite sub.
Yeah. Replacement teacher.
Sub. Good move in, good defensive move in Pokemon. Sub.
Substitute.
Sub. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Yeah. Very good defensive move.
Bus backwards. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the most important one. Yeah. So the film was co-directed by Jim Henson, father of the Muppets, and Frank Oz. Frank Oz was a name that I recognized personally. He's directed a ton of movies that I have never seen or heard of, but he was the voice and the puppeteer of Yoda in the second Star Wars film from the 80s, Return of the Jedi, I believe.
Sure.
No, which is it? Oh, man, I'm going to piss someone off so hard.
It's The Empire Strikes Back, for sure.
Excuse me. Yeah. He was a puppeteer from Yoda in both, but Yoda dies in Return of the Jedi.
The Empire Strikes Back, and then Return of the Jedi.
I seriously thought about watching all those old Star Wars movies this week, because I was playing the Star Wars game or whatever, and I'm like, I don't remember a single thing from all those old Star Wars. I should just watch it so I can maybe keep up with these Star Wars fans.
Come back on that TV level.
That's
it. 3PO!
Nice.
You can't understand what pod racing is otherwise. Because then you need to watch the prequel trilogy, right?
I saw that. Yeah, that one I remember. I went to the theaters and watched that little Anakin guy do the pod racing with my dad.
Yeah. Mr. Jar Jar Binks.
Yep.
I feel so bad for the actor who played that kid. Just relentlessly bullied till he went crazy.
Oh, is that what happened?
Jeez. Yep. Yeah.
Went to the dark side.
Went to the dark crystal, am I right?
Yeah.
So Frank Oz, so he was, like I said, he was a puppeteer for Yoda. He also played Grover, Cookie Monster, and Bert on Sesame Street from 1969 until 2007.
I'm an Ernie man myself. I don't know about you guys. Where you fall on the Bert and Ernie side of things.
I don't. Which one's the sub in that relationship?
Bert.
Ernie.
Bert.
Bert's.
Oh, two answers. Two different answers.
Come on.
Bert's he's like the abusive partner in that relationship, right? He's kind of mean and grumpy.
Yeah, but he's the uptight, needs to blow off steam by being tied up and whipped, I think, right?
Oh.
Ernie's like the laissez-faire, but free spirit who has a lot of power in the bedroom, I think.
Yeah. Okay. If I don't get a good paddling, I'll just go fucking crazy at work.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, gee, Bert, I don't have the energy to tie you up today.
Okay, I'll put a poll on the Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys, and the patrons can weigh in on who's the sub in that relationship.
Oh, yes. Speaking of that, I wanted to check about timing for loser titles, but we can talk about it afterwards.
Very good. Yeah. Yeah, another poll. Wow. Join the Patreon to participate in polls in a little small D democracy, dude. It's great.
West Coast feels like they're being left out of the loser title since we're doing a 5 p.m. EST. So anyway.
Should the lore boys change the shape of the earth and change time zones? YN is going to be the poll.
Yep.
So, yeah, I thought it was pretty crazy that Frank Oz was on Sesame Street for that long, from 1969 to 2007. Like, I'm starting a new job. I hope I can get something 10% as reliable as being the Cookie Monster. That's pretty fucking good. Star Wars and American Graffiti producer Gary Kurtz was also on board for The Dark Crystal. So it's a very, the production values are fucking insane, but this is like a Hollywood royalty movie when it came out in 1982.
Wow.
I mean, Jim Henson was big, right, at the time? So.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, of course.
Throughout the 70s, it was
pretty popular. He had a talk show where all the characters were puppets, where the puppets would interview real celebrities. Like,
yeah,
that's how crazy the Muppet Show got.
Wow.
Yeah.
And his shoulder is higher on one side from all the time doing Big Bird, right?
Yeah, they had to bury him in a longer coffin.
Wow.
To compensate for the arm. Yeah.
No, there's just a hole in the top of the coffin and the hand, a skeleton hand sticking out.
I didn't even know Jim Henson was dead.
That's how you actually kill a Muppet. You need to retrieve the bone hand of Jim Henson, and that's the only way to finally banish a Muppet, or else they get reincarnated.
Oh yeah, that's the ultimate stranger.
This motherfucker's been dead for 33 years. Holy moly!
Really? He died before we were born.
In 1990. Yeah.
Wow. Fuck.
Holy Jesus. Anyway, so much of what we're going to talk about today, lore-wise, is from The World of the Dark Crystal by Brian Froud, as well as a fictional Oxford professor named J.J. Llewellyn, and then some more expanded universe stuff by a guy named J.M. Lee. J.M. Lee worked on the Netflix show as, the, younger, more modern historian. But The World of the Dark Crystal was a book made by Brian Froud, like I said, did a lot of the illustrations. This was made in conjunction with the film. So this is all stuff from the 80s, not accepted expanded universe like J.M. Lee did. This is OG.
Yeah, this is like the concept book or whatever, concept art book.
Exactly. When
you say fictional Oxford professor, what do you mean? What the fuck are you talking about?
I will explain how the universe in The Dark Crystal works. Earth is there, and there is a Oxford professor and Dark Crystal historian within the fiction.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, J.J. Llewellyn is a fake dude that, fake quotes are attributed to, basically. So, he's the guy quoted on the bottom of the magic card. Basically who J.J. Llewellyn is, right?
He's the author of The Lusty Argonian Maid or whatever.
Precisely. Right. Yes. Yeah.
The real Baron's Eye. I gotcha.
So, every creature, planet, and star within the Dark Crystal fiction exists within the Uni-verse. So this is Uni-verse, which is a hyphenated pun, also known as the single song. So existence is, again, kind of is a song. This is obviously taken from Lord of the Rings, and maybe even ripped off from BioWare's phenomenal success, Anthem, which featured an anthem of creation as well. So Dark Crystal, Anthem confirmed, right?
Okay.
But yeah, the universe itself is a song that just passes.
Never ends. It goes on and on, my friends.
My friends.
Some people thought it in. Do kids today even know The Song That Never Ends? Probably not.
No, I mean, I think they took John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt out of the history books as well. So a lot of that stuff is being forgotten by the Zoomers. Unless you had, like, you could just do that song on a TikTok with, like, whatever the running monkey video underneath.
No, but that's the thing. TikToks are too short for The Song That Never Ends because it goes on forever. But
yeah,
TikTok, you know, they're supposed to be short and sweet. So that's the problem.
It's a pretty good looping song. I think it would work in a TikTok.
It's an attention span thing.
Jamie, make a TikTok and test it out.
Okay.
Yeah. So Earth exists within the single song, along with England. So I'm sorry about that. And this is where, like I said, the Oxford professor, J.J. Llewellyn, lives and works. Earth is basically identical. However, at one point, a being from the planet Thra named Agra arrived on Earth via astral projection and left some writing behind. This would eventually become the Book of Agra. And then Agra is one of the characters in both the Netflix show and film. She's one of the primary characters. But she came to a fictionalized Earth and left writing behind that was then translated and, like, whatever, adapted by J.J. Llewellyn. Sorry.
Can you imagine the audacity to be like, oh, I mastered astral projection. I'm just going to fuck with another planet. I'm just going to, like, pop over there and just, like, invent religion for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, you've got a bunch of Muppets taught the Egyptians how to build the pyramids, basically. And that's Ancient Aliens is just like, what if the Anunnaki? And it's just like a felt alien in, like, painted onto a wall in ancient Egypt or whatever. So Thra is the planet on which the film and the Netflix series take place. It is the primary setting for the entire Dark Crystal universe. Thra was also created by the single song and is a planet orbiting three suns and allegedly at least has three moons. The suns, or the three brothers, are the Greater Sun, Rose Sun, and Dying Sun. The Greater Sun appears to be a G-type main sequence star, like Earth's sun. The Rose Sun is a red dwarf, and the Dying Sun is a smaller dark star. When all three line up, it's called a greater conjunction, and due to their size and color differences, the three suns look like a giant eye. So you guys can open up the first spoiler image and see some of the fucking crazy hand-painted backgrounds that they have in the film.
Extremely beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we're each one of the three suns, I think I'm Rose Sun. What are you two guys?
I'll take Greater Sun because I'm hosting.
Uh-oh, Jamie.
Oh, I was going to say I'm probably the most mass, so I was going to take the Greater
Sun. The dying? Well, one of you's got to be the Dying Sun. I'm sorry to tell you.
I guess I'll be the Dying Sun. I'll be a black hole one day.
Yeah. Well, that could be, right? Because it's the amount of mass is not necessarily relative to
the size
of the star, right? It's like what it's actually made out of. So maybe your gravity is just so strong that's why you're the Dying Star.
Yeah, I'm a tight little Dying Star.
So that's like speculation based on what kinds of stars there are. They are. It's not actually official canon. Like Loreboy's astronomy, I guess, is just like, yeah, G-type star. That's that one.
Loreboy's astronomy is just astrology. The L is for Loreboy's.
Guys, it's very cute. The cat fell asleep on the dog's belly. And just has the ears back on.
Oh man, you're animals, dude. Yeah,
she's got like the head up, but like slowly bobbing side to side.
So, due to having three suns, a year on Thra is called a trine, and it's roughly 365 days, which is the time it takes Thra to orbit the greater sun, which is how they measure time. The other two, I guess they don't orbit in the same way. I'm not sure how a trinary star system would work as far as like having a planet orbit them and not, you know, be cooked to death by the Rose Sun or the Dying Sun. Don't know. But anyway, it's called a trine and it's roughly the equivalent to a regular Earth year.
Cool.
In the astrology, so the L is for lore boys, a trine represents harmony and is supposed to be beneficial. I don't know much more about this. This is real astrology. Sorry, I should specify. A trine is supposed to be like a beneficial thing. I don't know, like right, like Mercury rising or any of that.
I have a game called Trine 2. I think I actually have.
Yeah, it's like a wizard action RPG, right?
It's a wizard and a platformer, puzzly, and then also with combat. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Another term for a trine in universe. So this is fake astrology. Is an antep. This word is taken directly from like the Turkish and Aramaic language. It means springtime, and for some reason is also a pistachio without its shell. That's an antep.
Really?
in Turkish, yeah. Yeah, it's Antep Fistig, or Fistigi, is a shelled pistachio in Turkish Aramaic.
Wow.
Yeah, don't know why. Anyway, there's your trivia for the week. The jury is still seemingly a bit out on the three moon scenario. The primary blue moon and the smaller, weaker pearl moon are known to exist. However, both mythology and Agra state that there is a third hidden moon that no one has ever seen, but it has four phases and obviously still affects like the tides and I guess like the mantle of Thra as well.
It's like if our moon turned around and we only ever saw the dark side, you wouldn't know it was there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because of course the moon is notoriously two-toned.
Yeah, we're just lucky we got the bright side pointing towards us.
Yeah, exactly.
Could have gone. I mean, just more proof that he is Lord. He is risen.
Yep. He is. Right?
Yep.
So, more lore boys physics. Whatever the hidden moon, like obviously the hidden moon exists. Cause, like Agra states it exists, and she is magic and can astral project. Lore boys physics. I would speculate that whatever material it's made out of does not reflect light very well, or at least visible, like, puppet spectrum light. It just cannot be seen due to that.
Right? It's not like the shiny mirror of cheese that we have.
Yeah. It's nowhere near as reflective as mozzarella.
Easy. Well, is it shiny or is it shining, Jamie? Now you're contradicting yourself here.
Hmm? Yeah, that's you're right. I think it's shining. Yeah,
shining okay. Wheel of cheese.
Yeah. Yes.
Shining wheel of cheese. Like the dark side of the moon is like the kind of waxy shit on the outside of Brie. You just like peel that side off.
The red wax of a baby bell. You have to like pull the string all the way around the back of the moon to get the cheese out.
Well, somebody had pulled the string and you know how it like half opens or whatever? Like,
yeah.
That's what happened originally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did Laughing Cow, is that the same one, right? Laughing Cow and Baby Bell? That's the...
I think Laughing Cow's wedges of cheese and Baby Bell's circular.
They're by the same company. I think Laughing Cow is the company.
Yeah. I remember in elementary school, there was one kid who always had his like recess cheese. It was a very weird snack to give to a child. Like I had fruit and like some maybe like gummies or whatever, right? Like, real fruit juice, gummies, like that bullshit. Just fucking corn syrup and sugar. But yeah, there was one kid I remember always had, because he would make a big fucking wad of the red wax and leave it on his desk until it was eventually thrown away.
Yeah.
I just remember how weird that was.
I would tell my dad I don't like cheese and I don't like mayo on my sandwich. And those two things, I would always have a Baby Bell cheese and mayo on my sandwich. In the days that my dad packed my lunch, I just wouldn't eat my sandwich. No. But the Baby Bell, I wouldn't eat. For some reason, I had a phase when I was young, I didn't like cheese very much. But I would just... Dude, take the wax and fuck around with the wax. I remember chewing on it as a kid too. The feeling of it between my teeth.
Yeah,
I'm so hungry. I don't have a lunch, but my dad's an idiot.
Yeah, just very self-absorbed. Yeah,
it's not a good listener.
No, right? No, definitely.
I think some parents are just like that. It took my mom so fucking long to realize that I was lactose intolerant for like 10 years straight. That now that the problem is gone.
Yeah.
She's still now is just like, oh, sorry, I put butter in this. I'm like, honestly, it took you so long to remember that this was a fucking problem. The problem's you're gone now. So now you remember, of course, right?
Yeah. My dad, just some things too. Yeah. I remember when I first got ICE like 10 years ago, I told him, oh, if you buy food, I'm trying to use grain-free food. Because at the time, that's what I thought a husky needed. In the end, it's fine to have grains. But to this day, he's coming to see me tomorrow. He's like, I got grain-free food from Costco. It hasn't been a thing for years, but okay. Thank you, Dad.
Yeah. I mean, my mom throughout my whole journey of becoming vegetarian is just like every step of the way, like, you're what? You don't eat pork? Like, I gave up 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't touched it since. So I don't know what to tell you.
As a good old Bob Miller story there, I would have assumed... Your dad was just like, oh, I bought some like cereal for your dog, like the complete opposite of just like the grain free thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I got her mixed the mixed up Cheerios, the multigrain ones. Those are great.
He doesn't like cats, and I got a cat recently, and he's like, I told him about it. He's like, what? I thought you didn't like cats. I'm like, I like cats. You don't like cats. And he bought a bunch of stuff at Costco for my dog, but didn't buy anything for the cat because he likes the dog. But
not even a little bell ball at Dollarama? What a monster. My God. Anyway, on every planet within the single song, every planet with life, that is, that we know of, there's also a giant sentient great crystal. These are the sources of all the life on the respective planets and are also linked to one another through time and space, through some magical force. I do not know if there are, like, great crystals on planets without life, like if there's just one that's on Jupiter just desperately struggling to create life where there is no land and too much gravity, just constantly seeing what sticks, basically. But on every planet with life, there is a great crystal. There must be one on the Single Songs version of Earth as well. That, of course, you know, creates Oxford professors like J.J. Llewellyn.
All the Reiki healers were right.
Yeah, they take an Oxford class of, like, the bull singing, just like with crystals everywhere. Stumpy old British guys.
How does J.M. Lee fit into everything?
He's a real man who created expanded universe fiction.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a real person.
I think my initials are J.M., and J.M. Lee, it could be like an adjective for being like J.M.
J.M. Lee? Oh, like J.M. Lee.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. It's L-E-E. It's just an Asian surname.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, I do something very J.M. Lee these days.
That's exactly
Sleep on top of my fucking glasses is very J.M. Lee.
My glasses have been falling off this whole time. Like, I need to repair them after this.
Yeah. I have a tiny screwdriver set. When we build your PC in 8 months, we can also fix your fucking glasses.
Perfect.
you can just buy yourself like a pince-nez attachment for him, Jimbo.
Oh, yeah. That'd be cool.
That'd look good on you, I think.
Well, what happened to Google Glass? That thing fizzled out. I want some cool AR goggles, man.
Just get the $5,000 Apple helmet so you can see your iMessages, like, in front of you while you're driving.
Apple scuba mask.
Pete has a similar prescription to me, but just never wears glasses. You just live in a blurry world, my man. It's crazy to me.
I just need them for driving. There's no way I'm as blind as you are. I don't even wear them anymore unless I'm going somewhere I don't know, but, like, they're just there. They're not even on my license. I don't even require them legally.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm only, like, a 0.25 off from a normal eye.
Normal man.
Yep.
Is that a lot?
Not very much. I have a very weak prescription.
I'm a lore doctor, not an eye doctor.
Mm.
So, while Thra is obviously spherical, like every planet, fake scholar J.J. Llewellyn from Fake School Oxford speculated that perhaps the planet was triangular based on his readings from texts left behind by Agra. So she really did just astral project onto Earth and start fucking with people.
Like, just straight up, our planet is a pyramid. Build pyramids on yours.
Exactly. On Thra, there was a stupider than the British race called the Firelings, who literally lived underground, and they speculate that that Thra is actually flat. So they do have flat earthers, but they're the people who have never seen the fucking sun and, like, live in the planet's basement.
Naturally.
Right.
So the crystal within Thra became known as the Crystal of Truth. Originally, it's, like, formed within a mountain, basically. Okay. Where am I here? And it also created all sentient life on the planet. Plot-wise, the most important species were the Gelflings and the Podlings. And, like, that's kind of historically specific. All sentient life there was contained within an essence, which is the analog to the soul. It's, like, sucked out of... It's, like, the evil plot of the show is to suck essence out of other sentient races to, extend their lives, basically, the villains who we'll get into.
Sentient racists?
Yes.
They're becoming sentient? Yeah, exactly.
We're gonna drain the essence out of them. Extend our lives. That's the only way to be anti-racist, is to drain the eternal youth out of clan members.
Exactly. Nazi punks, fuck off.
Yep. Give me your essence. The protagonist species on Thra of the series are the Gelflings. They're the like not quite humans, they're like elves. So you guys can open up the next little picture and describe them. I find them very weird looking personally, but yeah,
they're definitely weird looking. They got doe like faces, I'd say. Like, they kind of look like the nose shape kind of looks like a deer with the lips underneath, I find.
Yeah, I feel like you know in Mario 64 when you can like drag the face around in the opening screen. If they grab like the nose / top lip area and kind of just brought it down a little bit.
The filtrum pulled that. Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So they're a sexually dimorphic species. The men are much larger and heavier, while the women in their adulthood develop butterfly-like wings, which can allow them to fly and glide. Personally, I would take the wings. That sounds way cooler than being a little
every
taller.
Time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I had to be a girl puppet, I would do it. Give me the wings. No questions.
Mm-hmm.
Where was I? Both races...
Every what? Fucking time I look at you and your glasses get all just, fucked up.
They're all more fucked up every time.
So, I'm just trying to get through this, guys. Okay.
Oh my god. So both races, this is the Podlings and the Gelflings, lived primarily on the continent of Scarith, along with a psychic hive of spiders called the Arathim. Who, when kind of collectivizing their consciousness, become a super organism called the Ascendancy. It's in the show. It's kind of evil and is probably the only full CG character in the entire Netflix series. The Netflix series is a lot of practical effects. And again, I think every single character other than the Ascendancy is an actual practical puppet. Operated by multiple, like a puppeteer or multiple puppeteers in some cases. In this instance, obviously, the giant skull face made of 100 talking spiders was not practical, but that's probably just for like budget reasons. You know, they were just too fucking lazy. I think personally, I blame the artists.
Yep.
And in no way Netflix, who canceled the show after dumping a bunch of fucking money into it.
No. It's never the manager's fault or the producer's fault, right? It's those goddamn Bohemians.
It's lazy. Union-loving puppeteers.
Yeah.
Right? The Writers Guild's on strike. The Puppeteer Guild is going out with them at some point, and now it's just, we're going to have a bunch of AI-generated puppet shows, and that's the only thing that's going to be on fucking Netflix. So, the Gelfling, along with the other races, were created by the Crystal of Truth during the Age of Innocence. After conflict arose between Flora and Fauna, the Crystal created Agra to serve as its eyes and ears. So she is... again, like one of the more powerful magical beings. You can pull up her picture. She's the next one. She's kind of shockingly ugly for a character. Very Gobby Lynn. But, yeah.
She's got curved ram's horns. Oh, it's like, this is like kind of the opposite of the Mario, like, stretch out. It's like if somebody had grabbed her, like, right in the nose in the middle of her face and just, like, drew everything in, you know? Like,
yeah. Like a pug.
Yeah,
she probably snores. She's got gray hair. She's got like this draping cloth. I don't even know what material that is. It's like a bunch of different colors. It looks like she just like scrabbled together a bunch of different shirts to make a shirt.
Yeah.
Very, very witch vibes, right? Like,
yeah,
she
looks like
a witch. Yeah. She's a good witch, though.
She has a medallion.
Yeah, and she was created. She also has a power of astral projection. She's very powerful. She created multiple races on Thra as well. She has that power as a direct like representative of the crystal itself, because the Gelfling and the other sentient races were just getting too way into deforestation and shit. So she was like, "Hey, whoa, hey, we all got to chill."
She made multiple races, so she made racism happen.
You're right.
Yeah,
yeah. I guess by
CEO of racism.
Yes. Mm-hmm. God, what was I gonna say? Oh, it doesn't matter. Oh yeah, she's one of the main candidates for broken English monster voice in the film. I find her particularly hard to understand.
Ethan, stop taking screenshots of me.
Are you doing a time lapse of his glasses falling off? Yeah.
Do we know any of the races that she made, or are we gonna talk about that at all? Or
yeah, we're gonna talk about like her first creation is very important to the story.
Okay, cool.
But I mean, I believe she created the little kind of like fuzzy ball dog things as well. the there's one Muppet in the movie that's just like a bunch of sharp teeth in like a puff ball, and it's it's the surrogate dog. It's the cute character for the movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's one being she creates specifically who we'll talk about later. So yeah, like I said, Agra, My Fair Lady, basically the Gelflings and the Podlings, teaching them to live with nature instead of fighting against it. And then these sentient races would then create multiple tribes with various kind of themes. So in the show, you can see like the forest tribe Gelflings. Then like the Kingsguard are all Gelflings as well, the more militaristic. There's another tribe where there's like a princess character and her mother lives in like kind of a small village with a crystal tower, like a smaller like fiefdom sort of thing. So you get to see all the different like branches of Gelfling culture within the show.
Cool.
We'll get into some more eras and some the way things have kind of shaped up going forward just after the break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back, everybody. So this period of Agra civilizing the sentient races on Thra is known as the Age of Innocence, so-called because the Gelflings still really had no concept of time, death, or like pornography or anything like that. This lasted roughly 1,000 trine, so roughly 1,000 Earth years. Mm-hmm. The Age of Harmony, which followed, is known to take place during Thra's second millennium, and for whatever reason, the way they count this time period is 999 plus 1 trine, which is still 1,000 years, but fantasy calendar for some fucking reason.
A millennia. Yeah.
Like a lot of fiction, there is a Golden Age. During this time, the Gelflings made contact with the Podlings and also the Grunak. If you guys want to pull up the next picture, you can see what a Podling looks like.
It's actually a millennium would be one, right? Millennium.
Millennium is one.
1,000 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Millennia is multiple.
1,000, 2,000.
Oh my God.
A millennium is one Mississippi.
It's what just is like datum?
Is this okay? Are we looking at the jigsaw from Saw Pig?
Like, no, you may have skipped ahead to look at what a Grunak looks like as well. The Podling is the cute little guy with the wooden spoon.
Oh, okay, that's at the end for me.
Yeah. I don't even see a guy with a wooden spoon.
Where's the last picture?
The very last one, yeah.
Yeah.
Pete's all out of order here. For fuck's sake.
I put them in this order, dude. Whatever. Anyway, they're like kind of cute little, they're much goofier looking little gnome dudes. This character is
like an old frog, you know?
Yeah.
Like a tired old frog.
Yeah. This character is specifically named Hup, and he wants to be a knight, but doesn't have a sword, so he fights with a wooden spoon.
Aww. Good for him. I like him.
The Grunak picture, this is the only picture we have of them. The Grunak picture have their mouths sewn shut. Their technological prowess and ability to build advanced technology made them a target of another race later on. They were thought to be hunted to extinction. However, two remain enslaved in the Chamber of Life, which is where the crystal is currently housed at the time of the show. So now we need to move a little, change our setting a bit. On a very distant, unnamed planet, there lived another race called the Urskek. So if you guys want to pull up, now I don't know what fucking order they're in, you should need to pull up a very kind of mad scientist looking white thing.
Yeah, that's picture four.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, yeah.
Very Doc Brown from Back to the Future, if he was an alien.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his hair was standing straight up.
Well, Doc Brown from Back to the Future's hair did kind of do that.
Right? I guess so. Well, even straighter upper.
Even straighter up. Yeah, not yeah, like straight off the head, but like
Marge Simpson in this
to the zenith, right? Like straight up.
He's very thin and like gaunt.
It also looks kind of like mushrooms, the hair. Like it's clearly like just like a lot of gel and whatever like fiber that is for the puppet, but it does give it like this like mushroom appeal to it or fungal.
the subterranean fungus web. Yeah.
It also could have been like a mop that they just left Elmer's glue in overnight.
Yeah, exactly. And then let like dangle. This guy does look like a mop who sleeps like a vampire bat, you know?
He looks upside down now that you mentioned
it. He looks upside down.
He's got his arms crossed too. Yeah.
Yeah. He definitely does look upside down. Have you seen
what's a Muppet?
Have you seen someone took a video of like bats, but they're all upside down, but they filmed it as if they're right side up.
Yeah.
And it just looks like Yeah, it looks like they're at like a goth nightclub. Yeah. It's very cool.
They are very cute. Yeah. So yeah, this is an Urskek. These are tall, slim beings that glow with an internal light and possess multiple telekinetic powers. They can levitate, they can move things with their minds, raise the dead, apparently, and also give life to non-living entities. In the Netflix show, there's a big rock golem named Lore at one point, and I believe he was given life. They did. They knew we would do this episode eventually.
Thanks, Jim Henson. You never even got to see us alive.
You died before any of us were born, but you planned for it, right?
This dead is barely raised at all. He has so much hair on his head.
What?
He hasn't been raised.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Boo. Very good. Very good. so they give life to a giant rock golem named Lore. I believe, at least, it's a little bit of Lore Boys canon. I didn't rewatch the show. The Urskek perceive time and the universe as triangular, representing active, passive, and neutral, creation, preservation, and destruction, and then God, the cosmic, and the individual. So J.J. Llewellyn over at Oxford speculating that Thra was triangular was like maybe getting mixed up with like the philosophy of it and of like the understanding of the universe as being triangular and not like a literal interpretation of just like, well, they talk about triangles constantly. Yeah. So. And they
Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, you've got your base needs, you know, you've got your social needs, you've got your telekinetic needs, you've got your
cosmic needs.
You know, what my favorite part of the hierarchy is that sex is in there with food and shelter. They put that right in there.
Love to fuck,
dude.
There's a little bit of philosopher or psychologist lore for you.
Yeah, so if you're not fucking, then you can't even get to the next level of self-actualization. Yeah, virgins, you might as well stop eating, because that's the same thing. Hey, Maslow said it, not me. You know?
Yeah, fair enough. I'm just quoting.
Yeah.
So politically,
to quote Maslow, virgins might as well stop eating.
I remember being surprised that sex was like on the same level of food, like when they taught that to us. I thought it would be like the next one up because you can technically live without sex, but I guess
I think plenty of people do. I think it's wrong. I think there's plenty of things wrong with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right?
Like, yeah.
It was written by a guy who loved doing cocaine in like the 18 or 1900s. So like, take it for what it's worth.
Maslow didn't, I don't know.
Everybody was doing cocaine in those days, man. It was old medicine.
Yeah.
It's like over the counter for like toothaches.
For periods for women was like heroin and vibrators. of medicine.
The next time I get a cold, like someone find that old timey cold medicine, because that sounds like a great way to just like take your sick day.
Meth, heroin, cocaine, like syrup that you give to children. Yeah,
I think I feel better. I don't feel sick anymore.
Quick thing about the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. In high school, there was a kid who would always, a very weird kid, would always tell us that because sex was higher up in the pyramid, he's like, if you jack off when you're hungry, your hunger pains go away. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, man?
No, sex is on the bottom level, though. It's sex is...
He was talking about Maslow's inverted funnel of needs.
Okay.
Dude, the amount of times I've had to look at that damn triangle, like all the way through school, and then now in HR trainings, they show them too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never been shown the
McGill training we did.
Because I've done HR ones in office, and I've never been shown the triangle. I've just
like, no, this is management stuff.
Yeah, showing up on time, and then your KPIs, and then at sex, obviously, and the psychic needs of HR, basically.
Yeah,
but the ones that I'm looking at now don't even have sex on it. So maybe since I did my university degree, like what's getting close to 10 years ago, they might have taken it off. Oh no, here, this one has sex. Okay, yeah, good.
People don't need sex. Nobody goes crazy because they don't have sex. Obviously, we can just take it off the triangle, right? So politically, getting back to the Urskek here, politically, the Urskek society was rigidly collectivist. And like any good collectivist society, they considered any and all deviation from whatever the current consensus was to be heresy. So they have the same kind of cracks in their socialism that real life does, where it's just like, you just can't control for people. Or in this case, upside down bat puppets or whatever the fuck we were talking about. You just can't factor in the free will of the bat puppets.
Right.
18 of these Urskek began using their planet's Great Crystal to experiment with the dual concept of good and evil, speculating that there's like some heretical two-sided philosophy out there. So they were very much looking into whatever the equivalent on their planet of like a yin and a yang, opposed to the triangular, you know, yin yang yang, whatever you want to fucking call it, whichever vowel you want to put in there for the second one. Naturally, these 18 heretics were banished from their planet, arriving probably centuries later on Thra during the Golden Age of Harmony. Before their banishment, they were all told that if and when they can come and they can overcome their evil side, they're welcome back to their home planet. So it was a very temporary thing. It's like, sit down on this other planet, figure out what you did, and then you guys can come home whenever you want. They don't seem to age, so it could take them 1,000 trine, it could take them 10, whenever. They were welcome home when they, you know, resolved their personality issues. The 18 arrived on Thra through the Great Crystal, like in beams of light, during the first Great Conjunction, so all three suns had aligned. Agra was present at the time and was horrifically burned by the energy given off by the arrival of the Urskek, as well as the energy from the three suns being lined up. The Urskek managed to heal her, you know, just as ugly as she ever was. She looks great.
Okay, I was going to say, is like that what happened to her face? Or
No.
Like, she got, like, horribly burned. She's got, like, I don't know, like, Angelina Jolie's face or something. Like, some, you know, some supermodel's face after the burning. And everyone's like, oh, God, fix her.
Yes, she's like wrapped up in a hospital bed. It's just like Margot Robbie with a bunch of like creepy Muppets. Just like, I can't believe we've done this. We need to change her back. The most beautiful woman alive.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did use their magical powers to heal her and restore her back to health and just kind of explain what had been going on.
What does Margot Robbie look like?
What? She's Barbie.
Oh, I know her. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, made in a lab levels of gorgeous. And also, yeah, apparently beautiful. A cool person. So, like, that's also, that's the two best things a Hollywood actor could have.
Is she the Harley Quinn, too?
Oh, yes, that's true. Yes.
Oh, wow.
I mean, a few things. I, for the longest time, thought she was the girl from My Name is Earl, but a different person.
Oh, I see what you mean now.
For the longest time, I was like, how does this woman still look 25 years old when she's like, My Name is Earl was a sitcom in like the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Like, how is she 20 years older and doesn't look a day older, but it's just a different person who looks very similar.
Yeah.
Some people age well and just like get really good work done. Like Friends was on in what, 1999? Jennifer Aniston still looks fucking great.
So I feel like she has more 55.
Some people do age really well and get work done, and then some people are different people than you, the one you were thinking of.
From this picture, doesn't it look like she has more teeth than the average human?
She got too many teeth. Why did God had to give her some flaw, so he gave her too many teeth.
but perfectly straight. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think she's pretty.
I think it's ornery because they got all them teeth, but no toothbrush.
That's a Twilight Zone episode as well. Margot Robbie can't brush her teeth. where was I here? Right. The Urskek at this time had no intention of causing any harm to Agra, which is why they healed her immediately and began to help her. They also helped kind of like make Thra a more prosperous planet. Because just because they were imprisoned or banished there, they didn't have any ill will towards the population on the new planet. They sang at the mountain. They used like the magical song, basically. They sang at the mountain containing the Great Crystal. It crumbled away, and then they reformed a giant crystal castle around it. This is now known as the the Castle of the Crystal.
Crystal Castle.
That's a band. Crystal Castles. They
turned it into the big skull full of vodka, right?
Yeah.
And then there's just the crystal at the inside.
Nice. Dan Aykroyd's shitty vodka.
I've never had it, but my sister has a tiny little airplane sized skull that she had. Or
the bottle is great. It's a great bottle. Yeah. The vodka is mid at best.
I'm not a fan of vodka. I don't think I like it no matter what.
It's just one of those ones that people probably buy as a gift and then it sits on your, because it looks cool.
A cool empty bottle is a cool empty bottle, right?
Yeah.
I know there's a video on YouTube of a guy trying to chug Patron out of a skull-shaped bottle. And he gets very sick very quickly. It's a very good video.
I've only ever had one kind of Patron, and I think it was at Ethan's place. It was like a chocolate one or something.
No, it's a coffee one.
Coffee?
That sounds really
good. I have come over. I think I have 3 bottles of Patron Gold.
So, wow.
Just because when I moved into my house, I guess my dad told everybody that I drink tequila, which I do drink tequila. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, here you go. I got like 3 separate gifts of Patron Gold. I was like, all right.
Nice. I remember drinking that coffee one.
I just have 3 bottles sitting in there.
The coffee one on ice was excellent.
Yeah. Patron Cafe on ice is so good.
Mm-hmm. Really, really nice. So the Crystal Castle. Now, how's the... this is the Crystal of Truth. I don't remember if I mentioned. The Crystal on Thrall is known as the Crystal of Truth. The castle would eventually become the seat of power where the rulers of Thrall would work out of. With the help of the Gruneck, the Urskek began building a series of mirrors around the Great Crystal within the castle now to more rapidly harness the power of the three suns and try and create like a fake conjunction so that they could go home earlier.
The Gruneck are the birds, right?
The Gruneck are the guys with their mouths sewn shut in the picture.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. They're the technology guys. I told you right, I mentioned okay. briefly. Oh. They're good with technology.
Urskek, the mops, came to the planet, enslaved the Gruneck.
They're working with them. They're just like, we need somebody to build us a series of mirrors to try and create a fake conjunction. We don't want to wait for the next solar eclipse, guys. Gotcha. We need some fucking mirrors. Let's go. We will use our magical powers to make the planet better, but you need to help us get the fuck out of here. Basically. They're being taken advantage of. Sadly, when the time was right, Augra's son, Raunip, began to mock and tease the Urskek, specifically one nicknamed Darkheart. So this is Raunip, who I don't have a picture of, I couldn't find one, is the first sentient being that Augra created herself with the power of the crystal. And she kind of adopted him as her son. But where is it here? Real-life author Brian Froud, who created the World of the Dark Crystal that we talked about in the 80s, considered Raunip to be like this universe's equivalent of a trickster character. He was a mischievous little creation that would, he would do some plan. Exactly. But like, not as destructive and evil as Loki, much more of a, like a good-natured prankster sort of thing, opposed to a,
I'll say.
Yeah. Did you find a picture of him? Like, I couldn't find one.
Not a puppet, but I got some pictures of him from an art book somewhere.
It's probably the World of the Dark Crystal, because Brian Froud did the writing and the illustration for the book.
There you go.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay, I did see this. Jesus Christ, he looks terrible.
Yeah, it looks kind of like,
look how long his middle finger is on the front. Yeah.
But he does have stylish ripped jeans.
It does, yes.
Exposing like what looks like his bare like bone knees, like
and elbows, yeah. Oh, I'm just saying, this guy could use a little bit of being burned alive to look like Margot Robbie, I think. he could probably stand to get a little bit of beauty work done.
This is like, day 3 of playing Zelda. I haven't left my room in many hours. And then Ethan snaps a screenshot of me as I walk by my computer.
Yeah, you just look like a chimney sweeping brush wearing ripped pants.
Yeah, the wildlife cam catching you walk into the kitchen at 4 a.m. after playing World of Warcraft for 18 hours straight.
Yeah, yeah. Got to go load up on Pogos.
Pogos is gamer juice.
Now's the time to admit that, like, Jamie's been saving our Patreon money for a new PC, whereas Ethan and I immediately bought a trail cam and set them up in Jamie's kitchen. We were like the reflective eyes just in his underpants with, like, Pogos in his fingers, like Wolverine claws. Yeah.
If any one of us three was a cryptid, it would be Jamie.
Absolutely.
My hold shorts that I showed you guys the other day that I still wear around the apartment.
Your hold shorts, dude, that's just an elastic waistband with some material hanging off one of the legs. Because one of them is ripped all the way through to your ass.
Yeah, it's a huge crotch hole, and the waistband is ripped like on one half from the shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like half skirt, half shorts. but
they're
like
comfy
on the side. It's not like an actual like.
Yeah, all fucking basketball shorts or gym shorts are comfy. Like yeah. All fucking basketball shorts right now. If you buy a new pair, they won't be uncomfortable just because they don't have all those fucking holes in them.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's better ventilation. I'll give them that. One real chilly thigh as it's ripped apart there.
Yeah. You went to go get them.
I went to go look for them. I don't know where they are right now, so never mind. Yeah.
You just like, that's what you put up on the Patreon when you put up a poll at patreon.com/littlebirds. It's like, help. Does Jamie need new basketball shorts? Yes, no. Just the completely destroyed rags.
Or that could be the top tier. If you pay $99 a month, you can get a well marinated pair of shorts.
No. Nobody wants that.
Do not subscribe to that tier. You will not be getting the shorts. No. So, Where's the name here? Roundip's roast of Darkheart kind of distracted the Urskek during the ritual that they were trying to do to initiate a conjunction. And it kind of set them off balance spiritually and really kind of confused them. They had been prepared to heal their like the yin and the yang there, but then it didn't work. So the attempt to use the Great Crystal physically split them into two new races, one pure evil and one pure good, called the Skeksis and the Ura specifically. Time to get tactical marines.
Skeksis are bad?
Skeksis are bad. Now you guys can open the picture. Those are the birds.
Those are the vultures.
The Skeksis are very, exactly, vulture-like bipedal creatures, and they're all hunchbacked, and because they're the evil guys, they're very opulent and very decorated. Their hunchback is usually like adorned with a lot of jewelry, and they have like beak jewelry, and their horrible bird hands have a bunch of rings and whatnot on them.
Ooh.
The Ura you can bring up as well are kind of more of a, again, they look a lot like the Gelflings, but they're much more calm and monk-like.
Monkish, I think I said one time.
Yeah. Monkish is probably still weird.
Yeah.
We're out of pictures. What are they called? Ura?
The Ura, yeah. Or the Mystics is the casual name. So if Dark Crystal Mystics, you can see what they look like. I guess I forgot to post that one. Missed that. I have one on my PC. Anyway. This event ended the Age of Harmony and started the Age of Division, much to the annoyance of like Podling calendar makers everywhere. The Ura, like I said, are called the Mystics in the movie and the show. If one of them dies, their exact opposite, their half, the Skeksis, also dies. Also, their wounds copy over because they're two halves of the same being. Every single one of them is a pair. So now we have 36. We see this actually in the movie when the Emperor of the Skeksis dies at the beginning. He, like, dissolves into dirty gray ash. The Mystic that is hanging out with the main Gelfling character, Jen, also dies, I believe, because they were two halves of the same being.
Oh, I understand. Okay. Yeah.
They kind of fade away because they're good guys. They don't turn into like dirty ash where it's like, wow, this monk creature that raised me, I need to just like sweep it out of the hut that I've been living in. Like, I think he disappears into like sparkles or starlight or something and just vanishes. But the Skeksis are much, much grosser.
It's like matter and antimatter. What if they got too close to each other? Would they cancel each other out?
We'll get to that, actually.
Okay, all right.
That's a major plot point.
All right, I'm starting to figure this out.
There was a lot of panic. You could have written the Dark Crystal.
Yeah, easily.
So there was a lot of panic and confusion during the division, like being physically split in half and having your good and evil sides form into new creatures has got to be quite shocking, leading to the accidental deaths of two of the Skeksis and two of the Ura right away. So they're down from the original 18. Now they're down to the 16 that have been split into 32. But still, like, during the progress... where was I? Sorry, I skipped ahead here. Right, so Agra tried to reason with the Skeksis at one point, but in the panic, they attacked her. One of them missed and actually chipped off a shard of the Crystal of Truth, which would start an event that is the kind of overarching bad thing going on in the series and in the movie. This is called the Darkening. So chipping off a piece of the crystal is what starts its transformation into the titular Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance. The crystal shard would eventually be given to Jen, a Gelfling, and his companion Kira. They repair and cleanse the crystal at the end of the film. Jen is the male in the picture of the Gelflings, actually, the taller one with the dark hair.
Okay.
Things calmed down a little bit after the division. The Ura all left the castle to kind of become hermits or monks. They're very They're very calm. They walk very slowly. Like, they're seen moving around in the movies. They're, like, at their own pace, man. Very much like, I guess, the Muppet reference, the Snuffleupagus, the elephant that Big Bird hangs out with on Sesame Street.
Yep.
They move a lot like that. Very deliberate, very calm. I mean, they're eternal, got nowhere to be. Certainly not fast, right?
Right.
Yeah. And who knows? Maybe my other half is the emperor of the evil bird people and he gets assassinated. Maybe I'll just randomly die one day. I don't fucking know. I'll never see it coming. Could you fucking imagine?
What if we do have another, like, on the other side of the world? We just don't even know it. But if they get hit by a car, we're just going to die of a heart attack right away. You never know.
Oh, like as if our souls were divided at birth?
Yeah, like there's someone in Indonesia is like my opposite copy, and it could happen.
Yeah, I mean, well, you got to take care of yourself in that case. You'd think that there's like a guy in Indonesia now who like slept on his glasses and they're constantly slipping off his head as we speak.
On the opposite side, yeah.
Somebody broke the left arm of their glasses. Yeah, yes. Like today, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like sliding off his face, and his friends are making fun of him now too.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Things kind of, like I said, after they left. So the Skeksis were not immediately evil. For whatever reason, Agra, like shortly after the division, just decided to trust them. They were like, listen, we're going to take the sharp tooth, you know, like raggedy bird people. You can trust us. We will keep an eye on the crystal. You can use your astral projection to go teach people to build the pyramids and maybe find a solution to this problem. So Agra would return to, like, she's in this, God, I can't remember the term for it, but she is in this kind of laboratory in her house with a giant model of the solar system in it. So she's got like the rotating arcs with the little model planets on it, and that's where she does all her astral projecting.
It looks like one of the Dwemer puzzle rooms in Skyrim.
It does. Yeah. I can't remember what it's actually called. There's a name for that machine, or it's like an astrolabe or something like that. So there's a giant one in her house. And that's where she does her astral projection. She is woken up in the series and in the movie to be like, the Skeksis are up to no good politically, basically.
Right.
But again, like, things do actually get pretty stable. The Gelfling come to the castle and were appointed as knights and guards. So a lot of the soldiers, like I was saying, in the Crystal Castle are Gelflings. Smaller kingdoms were allowed to rise, and everything was pretty much business as usual because the Skeksis were trusted eventually. But that is like, it's funny, it's much closer to real world, like, political evil, opposed to, like, fantasy, you know, like, tented fingers scheming evil. Okay. They're so realistically evil that everybody just believes, like, no, I trust them. They're in charge, obviously, right? They wouldn't be in charge if they were fucking evil, right?
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Right.
People started to ask some questions because it was during this time where the Grunach were hunted to extinction, other than the two slaves that are enslaved actually by the the Skeksis scientist named Skektek. And I was just like, damn, that dude enslaved these two monsters to like make tiny skateboards for the king or whatever. A lot of the Skeksis names are like Skek and then a kind of a pun on what they do. I can't remember all their names, but the scientist one who was experimenting on the darkening crystal and using it to drain the life essence out of the other races of Thra to extend the lives of the Emperor and the other Skeksis is Skektek, basically.
Cool.
Which is great. But yeah, so it's just like, why are people disappearing? Why were the Grunach being hunted? How come there are so many giant beetle man, you know, like, patrols out? I can't remember the name of the race that they use, but they use the DNA of the slaughtered Grunachs, as well as like the like bug army that they already have to create their like primary bodyguards. In the film, they're like kind of these giant hunched over like kind of crab monsters that is like their main fighting force. They look like the Mirelurks from Fallout 4, like a semi upright dome crab with a bunch of legs at the bottom. Basically.
Okay.
Red.
They destroy Agra's house at one point and like capture her and bring her to the Skeksis Council, and she's just like, why'd you send, she calls her like their crab men as like a derogatory term too, which is pretty funny.
Ethan, did you say rad on purpose because radiation or?
I didn't. No.
Okay.
No.
Cool. Nice.
No pun intended.
But yeah, a lot of the, and the other thing that is also happening is the pursuit of immortality, like, comes at a cost. Like, yes, it does kill everything they drain the essence out of, but over the course of the show, which sadly has been canceled, so there won't be any resolution, you can see that the Emperor of the Skeksis is, like, rotting from the inside out. So he's putting on more and more elaborate jewelry to hide, like, the, like, purple pus that is, like, seeping out of him. I think some of his fingers just fucking break off because he's, like, necrotic from, absorbing the souls.
He's got gangrene. Yeah. Gangrene of the soul.
Yeah. And there's a really cool conversation where he's talking to the general of the Skeksis. And he's talking, he's just like, ever since we started draining the essence out of people, I haven't had a single dream, nothing but nightmares. I'm like, oh man, the show is so fucking good. And it makes me really sad that it was canceled.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is the prehistory, or the history of Thra and the Dark Crystal leading up to when the show begins. The show is a prequel. And one of the things about it being canceled is it's a fairly dark show, but it's canonically going to get a lot darker. Most of the protagonist cast are Gelflings, but by the movie, Jen thinks he's the last one because the Skeksis have gone through and slaughtered them all. So we don't get, like, our genocidal puppet war Netflix series, which, like, with the production values would have been fucking insane. But, like, can you imagine how fucking bleak that show could have gotten?
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved it. I've been your host, Peter O'Donohue. You can find me at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram for all of your puppet needs. Yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for coming by. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for sharing. Fellas, what's up?
Get in the Dick Sword.
Get in the Discord. There's a link in the description of this episode. Or it's discord.com/
Discord.gg/Loreboys.
Sorry, I'm never gonna get it right. if only we could do it like the Google domains and just buy both.
Yeah,
hop in there. Join the conversation, say hi to us. If you're a patron, you can ask us anything in the patron AMA chat and play the loser titles game that Jamie bewilderingly mentioned at some point in this episode. And that's all in the Discord, so
you can also, if you feel like it, I did set up a subreddit about a year ago and it finally just got traction in the last couple weeks. We have like 20 people in there or something.
Yeah, but now that Reddit's dying, we're hopping on to Reddit.
So you can go on r/theloreboys if you want to get in on the conversation there. There's only two posts from the community, so you can be the official third post if you rush
there's
in there.
Two posts from the community because we're standing in solidarity and we blacked out the sub, right?
Right.
Yes. Something with the API, right?
Yeah,
third party apps.
No, that's not talking about
whatever. Yeah, it's a long story.
Yeah, if you guys like the show and you want to support it, you can leave us a review or tell your friends. It's the only way the show grows, and you might just get somebody else interested in hearing about puppet lore, where we inexplicably tangent about other things throughout. And that'd be great. That'd be great. We'd appreciate it if you want to support the show financially. We do have Patreon, patreon.com/loreboys. Where you can kick us a couple bucks a month, as little as $3 a month, I think, is our intro tier, which gets you access to most of the patron level.
A buck a boy.
A buck a boy, we call it. And that's USD. So it's more in Canadian. I think it's $4.50 in Canadian. And I don't remember what the one patron who pays in Hungarian.
I was just thinking of it. Dark side,
1,000 Hungarian dollars or whatever the conversion is.
Yeah. Also, our biggest patron over time. So thank you, Dark Side.
Anyway, we don't have to draw comparisons. Any little amount you can chip in is super appreciated. Yep. Of course, anybody who doesn't want to be belittled by Jamie and his comparisons and doesn't trust Patreon can always join Loreboys Prime. We, of course, always are hard at work to create some exciting incentives for you guys over the Loreboys Prime department. We did receive a missive from a space lady. She showed up. It was the three boob lady from the Fifth Element.
Okay.
She showed up via astral projection. Yeah. Shared some pyramids with us, and basically we need you guys to we're gonna send you some crystals. We need you to dump some of your essence into them, and I mean probably get a friend or something to ship them back. You'll probably won't have the strength to post them back yourself, but we'll send you some labels, and don't worry about, you know, our fingers breaking off in future episodes or the purple pulse or anything like that.
Three boob lady, talk about a great conjunction, huh?
Jamie's already falling apart. It's the consequences of drinking the essence. That is why his glasses are slanty.
I think that would cost you more boys.
More boys.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.